Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes this year. My name is Christian Bond. I'm joined by Kellen Westring, Lacey Nicholson, and Gerard Assoni. How's everybody been?
Wow, it's good to be back. It's been a long time since we've been here. I think it was May 6th was our last show. I'm a highs and lows kind of guy. I like, you know, knowing the highs of people's summers and the lows of people's summers or wherever it may be in between. For me, my high started today. Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Tim Tebow. Just such a solid guy. If I was a girl, I would date him. I mean, this guy gets it done on and off the field. A great Christian guy, a great leader. And he signed for the New York Mets minor league team. So, you know, he still has a ways to prove himself, which I totally agree. And I think he needs to prove himself, Drew. So I'm pretty excited for that. Tim Tebow. And you know what's funny? Summer's over, but that's still my high of the summer. That shows, you know, basically for me, my summer is working out for football, getting ready, stuff like that, doing a couple internships. But my low, my grandma passed away this summer. Bless her heart. God rest her soul. Had an amazing funeral back in kind of early August there. But so that was my summer. Lacey, what about you? Highs and lows?
It's been a good summer. It's good to be back here, though. That's for sure. I just kind of hung out this summer, working out and hanging out. Nothing really special, but it's good to be back. That's for sure. How about you, Drew?
Summer was great. Probably the high of my summer was Dak Prescott going to be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. For those of you listening who don't know, I moved to Texas at the end of last year, and so that was kind of a cool ordeal for Dak Prescott to get the starting job. He was my favorite to win the Heisman his junior year at Mississippi State. I really liked him a lot. And then now, just ready to be back at school, ready to, you know, start the grind again with basketball. Me and Lacey are going to end up seeing a lot of each other, not in the radio station, over the next 6 months. So it's hopefully basketball is going to have a great year. I look forward to watching the football team this weekend. And Kellen, on your high, we already know the best thing in the world is that Tim Tebow is already better at baseball than Michael Jordan was.
That's awesome. Christian, how was your summer?
My summer was great. I spent all summer working for the News Tribune. It was very laid back, so I got to relax for a little bit. Went to New York, umpired a baseball tournament. That was great. Fantastic. Other than that, pretty laid back.
Very, very good. Oh my gosh, it's just so much fun to be here. Cannot explain it. So, folks, I want to remind those of you who are listening that most of the stories we will be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We really want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, for those of you scoring at home, that is 253-535-7332. So we're going to start off our show by kind of giving you each of a fall previews here at PLU. For me, our first sport that we're going to start out with, I'm extremely jealous that this isn't a guy sport. We're going to start with volleyball. You know, the PLU volleyball team is, in my opinion, you know, and the record shows that has always had a rich legacy of winning and getting to the postseason. And, you know, for us, obviously, we're going to kind of see if they have the makings for that this year.
According to the coaches in the Northwest Conference, they do expect PLU volleyball to make it into the postseason. They're the unanimous favorite to win the conference. They're looking for their fourth conference title in the last 5 years. Lacey, Drew, who are some players that we need to pay attention to this season?
Well, I got to start out with Chloe Epker, just because she's from my high school in Sammamish, Washington. Go Spartans. Really young talent. She's only going into her sophomore year. And I want to say she earned second team honors last year just as a freshman. So she's going to really lead this team this year as a young leader, and I'm excited to see that.
Drew, how about you? Who are you looking for?
I guess my thing about the volleyball team this year is that they actually did return a lot of girls. Mm-hmm. Coming around all the way around the court, actually. Also, lots of new freshman talent, so I'm kind of excited to see what they do. I'm going to hold opinions because I broadcast all of their games, so I want to watch them play a couple times before, you know, I create an opinion on the women I'm looking forward to watching. Mackenzie Harris, though, the setter, had, you know, absolute fantastic year last year as a freshman. Looking forward to see how that continues.
Taylor Komagome and Rochelle Downwin are the only seniors on the team this year. Is that youth movement, I guess, something that the team should be trepidatious about, or should they be confident about, you know, what they're bringing to the table.
You read your thesaurus this morning now, didn't
you?
What
are you, Stephen A. Smith? I've
been working. The school's paying off, guys.
Well, here's the thing, guys. The thing that's crazy to me, you know, as we're kind of bouncing around here, is they got recruited 9 freshmen this year. 9 freshmen. In my opinion, that's pretty unheard of when it comes to volleyball. Obviously, for the PLU football team, we're normally bringing in 20 to 25 freshmen. But for the volleyball team to bring in 9 freshmen, that's big time. And I think, you know, they did lose some, in my opinion, 2 really, really key players last year, and Kylie Cooley, who, you know, went to Miller Ridge SPSL, went to Bellevue Community College and had a great career at PLU, as well as Lucy, who obviously came off the knee and just was such a stud last year. And so they're definitely missing some big time pieces. But that's what's exciting. And talking to Kevin Aoki kind of as we're walking through the halls, you know, as coaches, you know, coach, and you know, they work through their coaching philosophy. You know, everybody's always going to ask, you know, hey, what's the season going to look like? And, you know, who's coming back? Who did you guys lose? All that great stuff. And, you know, you look at it on paper, it should be kind of a, you know, in my opinion, a rebuilding season. But the great thing to hear from Kevin Aoki was he used the words, it's going to be a reload season. So he's just going to get his ladies and his girls to get right back in the saddle and hopefully, you know, continue that PLU kind of volleyball legacy. And Lacey, I know you had a lot of kind of stuff about kind of the UPS tournament and what they looked like a couple days ago.
Yeah, so they did just play this last weekend over at UPS. And they didn't have as great of a outcome as we all expected them to, only winning 1 of 4 matches. Losing 3 of those. But what was cool is that we were able to see a lot of the freshmen get minutes. I think they were trying to rotate a lot of the team in these non-conference games just to get everyone kind of on their feet and getting that exposure to a college game, which is really cool to see.
Right, absolutely. And obviously, you know, they were missing some players as well, so you kind of have to add that in the, into the equation, as well as even some coaches. So, you know, for them, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, it's they have Sarah Beaver, who's back. Sarah Halverson actually just got married this summer, who played at PLU a couple of years ago, who's another great asset, as well as Coach Templin. And so it's going to be one of those things. I mean, for you, Drew, as you're broadcasting those games, you know, what's the leadership like on, you know, on the bench? Is it, because again, coaching volleyball is a little bit different than football, a little bit different than basketball. What's that like kind of from your area? I know you're focused on the game broadcasting, but when it comes to the coaching staff and the way they're going about that.
Well, to call what volleyball does a bench is a severe understatement.
One, they never
sit on it. 2, they're never quiet. And, you know, I know Dickerson talks about it all the time. He goes, man, if we could just talk like the women's volleyball team on defense, we would be unbeatable. It's kind of crazy because with the way volleyball substitutions and rotations work, you know, there's a couple specialization, you know, scorers, and there's a couple specialization servers. I think they only play like 9 or 10 women on a normal basis. I mean, the preseason, yeah, they're trying to rotate women in and out just to see who, you know, who can, you know, who works best together. So to call them a bench would be, you know, I feel like it's demeaning in some way because they are insane and everyone's really into it. And you know when Kev stands up and he starts jumping up and down and yelling and start pacing up and down the sidelines, you know it's going to be a heck of a game. And that bench has energized them into a few wins when they've come out flat. So I'm really looking forward to watching. It's always a lot of fun.
Kellen, you mentioned that Coach Aoki had said that, you know, he was reloading this season. It's interesting, they're still picked to be the unanimous favorites in the conference.
Right.
Is that more of a compliment to the volleyball program itself, or is that kind of saying, hey, the rest of the conference isn't where it needs to be? What would you say that is?
Right. Well, in my opinion, it's always been like this. Whenever I look at a preseason poll, it always goes off of last year. So that's at the end of the day, that's what it always goes off of last year. Not to, you know, diss anybody on the team right now, but they haven't done anything. You know, they need to prove themselves. You can look at the conference and say it might be a little bit down this year. In my opinion, it's still pretty much as competitive as it was last year. But again, they're going off of what the Lutes did last year. But that's what's so fun. I mean, I remember last year heading out in the training room, you know, getting ready for spring practice for us, for the football team. You saw ladies like Kylie Cooley come back and practice with them. You saw, again, Sarah Halverson, who is, you know, one of their coaches, practice with them. So in my opinion, these girls can't get away from the PLU volleyball team. And, you know, you see Aubrey Lyon come back. So, in my opinion, it's still a family, and I think these girls that have even graduated are going to continue to come to these games. And, again, try to give these girls some confidence because, again, they are extremely young, only 2 seniors. And so it's going to be fun to see the challenge that they have, you know, moving forward.
Which I think is such a great thing, especially in volleyball, is to have that team chemistry. And in the sports where you have less people on the court at a time, basketball, volleyball, even maybe soccer on the field, that team chemistry is something that can really make or break a team, and I think that's something that the PLU volleyball team really has.
Right. I think chemistry can sometimes always beat talent. You know, mm-hmm. if you have that camaraderie, if you have that brotherhood or ladyhood, if you will, I guess, in this situation. And obviously, Drew, you've witnessed it, you know, on hand.
Yeah.
I'm sure sometimes that ladyhood has just overcome teams that might be a little bit more talented. But, you know, obviously these volleyball players for the Lutes, you know, want to play for each other.
You know, to go back and touch on that recruiting comment a little bit, I know recruiting is very different at the Division III level than it is at Division I or Division II level because of the lack of scholarships and, you know, the kind of different things that roll into it. So you see coaches recruit a ton of players in a class because they don't know how many are really going to commit.
Right.
And at what point they're going to commit, because Division III commits usually happen later than any other school
exactly.
ever, because you never know who's going to show up. So I think volleyball got caught in that stick mm-hmm. because Kev wants to go out and recruit as many talented women as he can,
as
right?
As he should.
Right. And, you know, because you want to hit probably about 40% of your recruits to show up. So that would mean they would have probably recruited, they probably would have had 5 or 6 show up, which would have been perfectly fine. Good freshman class. That's a pretty healthy recruiting class. They had a huge recruiting class show up because they've been so good over these years. That's a testament to that program.
Absolutely.
That they're going to do that. And I think women's soccer, who we'll get to down the road, also got caught up in that,
yeah.
where Coach Spadal recruited a ton of women, and they had, and he didn't want to let any of them go when they got here because – you know, they're all super talented.
Right. I think at the Division III level, whenever you have to cut players, it's a testament to your program because these people want to be on this team. They want to play for us in football. We have 88 players this year. That's really low for us. We're normally in the 110s, 120s. We do sometimes have to have people come late. You know, they miss breakaway. They can't come to preseason because we just don't have the numbers. But to your point, Drew, I'm so glad you pointed that out. It's not like Kevin just, you know, wasn't being a smart coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing his job, you know.
Yeah, you know, some of the women on the team can like shake their head, well, like, oh yeah, well, Kevin recruited way too many girls. There's not enough reps and all that stuff. But
it's not intramurals, brother.
But it's not. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not intramurals, and he's trying to build a program for years to come. This is about the future. You're
right.
Only here for 4 years. Kev's been here since we've all been born. I mean, so it's one of those things. You just gotta. It's about building a program. And is he gonna recruit less women next year? Probably. Will he recruit only like 5 or 6 women, hoping to bring in either 3 or 4? Yeah, because he's going to have, how do you say, 12? How many came in?
9 freshmen.
9 freshmen came in. He's going to have 9 seniors, those 3 or 4 juniors.
If they stay
that
all
is
4
if
years.
They stick it out. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. And you also are going to lose some. Like our recruiting class last year for freshmen, we brought in 8 freshmen for basketball, and now we have 3.
Right.
Exactly.
You just never
so
know.
So you can trim it out really quick. It just depends on – because you have to remember that Division III, you're putting in all the same time, effort, and extracurricular stuff that a Division I, Division II athlete is for not even a quarter of the compensation.
And let's be honest. You look around the country on D3Volleyball.com, I'm sure, you know, coaches are struggling to find volleyball players to even play. They're probably going to the basketball team and saying, hey, did you play volleyball in high school? Mm-hmm. You ever watch it on TV?
That's what Andy Foltz does. Coach Foltz does for women's rowing.
Right, right.
Yeah, you can't recruit for women's rowing. Usually you get 1 or 2 women who've rowed before.
Right.
After that, you're like trying to find out the hardest working athletes.
Absolutely.
All right, so looking forward into the season, who, in everybody's opinion, is going to be the toughest matchup for the Lutes this season?
Oh.
In conference, out of conference. Well, let's keep it in conference. Who's going to be a tough matchup?
Whew.
Come on, you guys know who's in the conference. Just
well,
spout
yeah.
a name.
Can I take 2, Christian? Is that okay? Can I take 2?
Yeah.
So Puget Sound, when it comes to any sport, we're always going to get Puget Sound's best game, no matter what, because we're rivals.
Absolutely.
And so we're always going to get their best game. And then George Fox, in women's basketball and women's volleyball, is extremely tall and extremely long. And they can cover the court really well because unlike men's volleyball, women's volleyball is a lot about finesse and steering the ball and, you know, place hitting, when men's volleyball is just about hitting it as hard as you can at the floor. So there's a lot more strategy in women's volleyball, so I think George Fox may be a tough matchup for them as well.
I think you hit it right there on the head, Drew. I think UPS was going to be my answer. Absolutely, you know, always depending on just the fact that, you know, we are their rivals and they are always going to play above their potential. It's always happened over the years. And especially, in my opinion, talking to Julia Hutchinson in the weight room the other day, you know, she's pretty upset about how the tournament went, and a lot of the ladies are, and so they're looking forward to playing UPS once again. So I'm really, really looking to that matchup as that comes into play here. So, folks, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll be previewing another fall sports team. Find out what team that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Christian, what sport is next?
We're going to talk a little about POU football. POU here is picked to finish sixth in the Northwest Conference preseason coaches poll. 3 points shy of fourth place, which George Fox was picked to finish there. Top three in voting in order are Linfield, Whitworth, and Pacific. What do you guys think?
All right. Well, I think although we're picked in the lower half of the conference for preseason coaches polls, I really am looking forward to watching the Lutes this season. I think we have a good season ahead of us, and I know we're not deep on either side of the ball, offense or defense, but I think that kind of gives us an upper hand. A lot of the starters are upperclassmen, and they know what to expect, and they know what it takes to win out there. So I'm excited to see them grind it out this season.
Let's talk about the quarterback position a little bit. As of right now, Scott Westring's plan is to play both John Schaub and Cole Chandler. What makes both players effective as quarterbacks, Kellen?
You know, Christian, it's a hot topic. You know, in my opinion, I think it should be on syndicated radio, but we'll start here. You know, this question is one of those things where it's, you got two great quarterbacks, but they do different things, and our offense is suited for literally both of them. John Schaub, you know, he's extremely consistent and accurate. Honestly, probably, and I'm not just saying this because we're on the air, he's probably the most consistent quarterback when it comes to accuracy I've ever played with. Dalton Ritchie, who I you know, played with a couple years ago, was, in my opinion, the best overall quarterback when it came to throwing and running and just being that dual threat. But John Schaub, I mean, it's unreal. I mean, he's Mark Sanchez accurate, Drew, and that's no diss on John. Mark Sanchez is accurate. He's on the Cowboys now. He probably won't ever play again. That's not the point. He's accurate. You know, in my opinion, my dad, he's extremely pleased with John's leadership. John's not a captain this year, Christian, but he's done an amazing job at still being that kind of senior leader. For every position on the PLU football team, we kind of have a senior leader for literally each position, and John has literally taken being almost the team position leader, and it's been so cool. He's got such a good tone of his voice. His dad's a pastor. He gets how to kind of get a crowd, get their focus. It's just awesome to see John do that, and obviously, John knows the playbook extremely well. He's a senior. He's been here for 4 years, and the one thing, in my opinion, that's really, really cool about John is he's extremely selfless. And that's what's so cool about this whole quarterback situation. You got John Schaub, Cole Chandler, Waka Lavoie, and Nolan Hoover. Guys, those four guys are like literally all best friends. And in my opinion, my dad always says this, and I have to tip my hat to him, it's really true in this situation. You don't really see that. You don't really see four quarterbacks want all those guys to play. It's really, really cool. They hung out pretty much all summer. They have QB sleepovers all the time. They're always eating pizza from Domino's because John works there. It's just so fun to see, you know, them thrive together and want the best for each other. Now you look at Cole Chandler. Cole Chandler is a sophomore, played in 3 games last season as a freshman, led the Lutes to their first win over George Fox, can move the ball up and down the field. Now what can Cole do that John might not be able to do quite as well? And that's run the football. John's coming off ACL surgery. I've had 3 knee surgeries. I know what it's like coming off an ACL surgery. You're just not quite the same. But again, I know no one ever wants to hear that. And John's worked his butt off all summer. I can attest to that, seeing him at speed and quickness stuff. And no question, he is where he should be. In my opinion, he's ahead of schedule. But again, when you weren't really a runner in the first place, plus you get surgery, you just got to be smart. And for Cole, in my opinion, for us as the Lutes, I think, guys, we're going to be a lot like Texas. You know, they have kind of a 2-quarterback system. We have John, who can throw the ball, in my opinion, as well as anybody in the conference when it comes to accuracy and consistency. But then you also have Cole, who can throw the ball not quite as well as John, but can run the football and can be a big-time threat in the red zone. And so for the first game, guys, John's going to start out the game. Then Cole's going to go in after about 16 plays. And then we're going to kind of see at halftime, okay, who's playing well? Again, how is Kalu playing against us? They play a lot of cover one, a lot of option stuff is what we're going to run. But again, John can hit those seams. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, you can look at the situation as like, oh my gosh, it's such a hard decision. I feel so bad for the coaches. But my dad is very blessed to be in this situation because, hey, he's got two quarterbacks to choose from. It's not like we're just like, gosh, we don't even have one. We got two. We possibly have three in Walker, who played in the last two games of the season last year. So it's extremely exciting to see what's going to happen here throughout the season when it comes to the quarterback position. I'm sorry for talking so much. I just get really, really excited because I know these guys really want them both to succeed, and I think they're both going to put up a lot of great numbers this year. Lord willing, they both stay healthy.
Of course, you were going to talk because, not to quote Terrell Owens or anything, but that's your quarterback, man.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I look forward to watching how this whole quarterback situation plays out. I know at the end of last year, we sat your dad down across that thing, and I grilled him. I'm like, okay, what's the deal?
Right. You put him on the hot spot.
I put him on the hot seat. What's the deal? What are you going to do? And very rarely has a two-quarterback situation ever worked out to exactly how we all wanted to see it work out. So I'm very interested to see how that goes this year. I mean, I'm worried about John's knee. Every time he has to throw the ball deep and drive off that back foot and throw a deep dig, I cringe because it's, you know, one wrong twist away. And as we've seen, you know, knock on wood, with Teddy Bridgewater, it doesn't even take contact.
Man.
It doesn't even take contact.
Didn't take contact for me to tear mine either.
It didn't take contact for you two years either. It's just one of those crazy sports. I think that this would not even be a conversation we are even having if John wasn't hurt. If John didn't get hurt, I think it wouldn't be a conversation. I think John would have been great last year. Cole wouldn't even have been on the field, and it would have been great.
Exactly.
But John got hurt, kind of left that door open a little bit.
Right.
And Cole took advantage of his opportunity, showed what he can do, show how he can move the ball, show his dual threat ability. And now your dad's in a little bit of a spot.
He is.
But I think it almost works out better this way. I do like the two quarterback situation with Cole being able to run and John being able to throw.
Mm-hmm.
Because John won't take those hits. Not to say, Cole, you're a sacrificial lamb.
Like you're saying, like, I think coming off of ACL surgery, I don't even know if John will be able to play an entire game and be healthy that way. So it works out. It works out for the best.
Right, because like my dad said last night at Ferrelli's, John hasn't seen live bullets. You know, I mean, he's seen practice, but again, don't wear the red shirt like, you know, Drew's wearing. Don't touch the quarterback, right?
Yep.
Sunshine. And so it's one of those things where, again, for John to kind of get those reps in the game, and then for Cole to get those reps also in the game. But again, the best thing about this is because 6 years ago, again, I was just a little guy on the sidelines, you know, we had a two-quarterback system, but they were both extremely similar. They weren't running quarterbacks. They could just throw. But it was one of those things where my dad promised this guy the starting spot because he transferred from Kalu. This other guy just came last minute, kind of classic D3 transfer deal from Central, and we knew this guy could really play as well. And it really divided the team because guys liked AJ, but some guys liked Jordan. But with this situation, everybody loves Cole. Everybody loves John. So that's what's just so cool. And that's what, in my opinion, just resembles what EMAL is all about. It's wanting the best for each other. It's wanting them to play the best of their ability. And that's what's really, really awesome to see.
So let's bounce around to a couple other positions. We got five receivers, five senior receivers.
Right.
Talk a little bit about them, yourself included.
Okay, appreciate that. Also, I'll go with myself last. So, like you hit on the head, we're extremely senior heavy at the receiver position, which also is extremely rare. You know, start off, we got Ben Welch, who's a stud two-sport athlete here at PLU, also plays shortstop for the baseball team. He's an amazing slot. Just gets it done on the offensive side of the ball, especially when it comes to blocking. And I know that's kind of an underrated thing as receivers. We like to be in the end zone. Ben Welch, he's going into his senior year, is a great receiver. Guess how many touchdowns he has at PLU?
I know he had none last year, but led the team in receiving.
He has zero. Hasn't scored yet. Doesn't mean he's not a good receiver.
Okay, time out. Can I ask a question? Is your dad going to make sure he finds the end zone this year as a senior? Like one time?
Maybe on the first play?
Like one time.
But it's one of those things where, again, Ben, he's kind of like a Wes Welker. He had 12 catches against Kalu last year in the first game, so they know about him as well. They're definitely going to scheme against him. They might have someone over the top, we'll see, or someone jamming him at the line every single play, which would be exciting to see. Justin Lin, our senior captain, played outside receiver last year because I was hurt. This year he's back inside the slot, and Justin is just he's a solid receiver. He's a journeyman, gets the job done, is going to do the dirty work, has great hands, doesn't even wear gloves, Drew, at practice. I'm sure you can appreciate that.
A man's man.
That's a man's man.
That's right.
That's like the baseball, for put that in Christian's world, that's like the guy who steps up into the box these days without batting gloves.
Oh,
that's the guy you love right there.
Was it Posada from the Yankees?
Maybe it was.
Always did that.
Jorge Posada.
Posada. Go off that rabbit trail there. We got Bo Lockmere, who's also a senior, can run extremely well. Probably our fastest receiver. pretty solid hands. He's going to also be on the outside. And then we have Isaac Knowles, who transferred from Lewis and Clark. Didn't see a lot of time last year. Is not quite in the rotation right now, but he's a big frame, about 6'3". Going to be exciting to see if he can kind of work his way into possibly some goal line sets. And then we have, you know, like I said, we have myself, you know, coming back off of knee surgery last year. And you know, like I said, guys, not to gloat, but just for me knowing my confidence, you know, I was once as a starting freshman, 9th in the country in receiving. So I know what I can do on the field.
Are you playing X or Z?
I'm playing always on the right side.
Okay.
So that's just the side that John likes to throw to, so that's where we have myself. So, and again, coming off a plethora of injuries, so it's also being smart with my body, being able to read my body and not try to go, you know, more than my body can take. I don't want to be the next Derrick Rose or RG3. So, but Christian, it's just going to be so exciting. And again, a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball that fly around. So
defensive,
the first game,
Travis Million is one of those guys.
Oh, gosh.
I think he led the... He's returning with the most solo tackles.
Right, yeah.
Like,
he and I met
37.
He and I met head to head last night. It hurt. I'll be honest with you. He he got me pretty good. Thankfully, I hung onto the ball there. But
what about Derek Chase?
Derek Chase, senior captain, extremely athletic. Casey Ruther moved from safety to corner because he's extremely savvy.
Carson Ketter.
Carson Ketter. I mean, we don't have a long enough show. That guy is a stud.
Your secondary is nice.
It's one of the best secondaries, guys, since the 99 team when we won the Natty. So we are so deep in the secondary. I think where we're going to struggle is on the defensive line. You know, it's going to be one of those things where for us, guys are going to really, really have to step up. David Lasalata, our coach that was our D-line coach last year, had to step away because he got a great job. You know, actually he's going to be a police officer, which is extremely exciting. Our best D-lineman, in my opinion, Chris Singstad, had ACL surgery 6 months ago playing lacrosse. What are you doing? But it's just one of those things where guys are going to step up. Isaiah Watkins doesn't test very well, but this guy gets it done as a linebacker. Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be previewing another fall sports team. Find out what team that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes, My Fault, Lacey, on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you wanted to call into the show, do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Christian, what is the third sport we're going to talk about?
A little bit of women's soccer. All right, so POU was voted to finish second in the preseason coaches poll, just 2 points shy of the top spot. 27 student athletes return. 5 of the top 6 goal scorers from last season are back on the team. Michaela Grady earned first team All-West region, scoring 10 goals, 4 assists, and contributed on 24 points for POU. Led the team in those categories. Who are a couple other players that we need to pay attention to?
Well, I'm really looking forward to watching women's soccer this year. What a talented group of girls. I'm not sure how many seniors they lost, but they seem to have a lot of returning girls and a solid starting lineup, starting with their overly aggressive offense with Michaela Grady and Kaylee Roselle up there, and also Taylor Lund, who didn't start last year but contributed 8 goals for the Lutes, which is awesome. And then also adding freshman Leah McGee, who just had her first goal, her first collegiate goal in a double overtime win down in Texas.
What a time.
So,
wow. What a time.
That is something to really look forward to this season.
Right girl, right spot.
Right. So, and then not to mention the defense of this team is so solid. I mean, honestly, I would be scared to go up against them myself. Their back line, they got Kelly White, senior, who was first team last year, and just a solid defensive back line there. And if you're getting past them, which I doubt you will, you got to go up against goalie Takara. So, we'll let Kellen talk about those stats.
Yeah, the ball's not getting by TK. That's for sure.
Takara Mitsui had 94 saves in 1,844 minutes last season.
She's
I think I read that she played every minute for the Lutes last season. So.
She's just an All-American. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Not a big deal.
That's no big deal or anything. She's only an All-American.
It'd be fun to get to know her. You know, it's fun because, you know, Aaron Gunther, the trainer here at PLU, gave me the hardest time. He said that she has better hands than me. Now that hurts. That really hurts, Drew. I got to be honest. I hope.
Aaron's now my favorite athletic trainer. That's a win.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Me and Christian were talking a little bit last night, Kellen, and I think the women are going to finish way above their projected ranking.
They're
second.
Second. So who's first?
I'm going to look.
I think it's UPS.
I think they're going to win it all. to be honest. And for those of you guys who don't know how the point system works in soccer, it works just like professional soccer. You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and you don't get anything for a loss. So when they say the women are going to come in 2 points behind Puget Sound, I think there's a couple draws mixed in there somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think if women's soccer can beat Puget Sound once, I think they'll win. And so with TK and goal, we've already said enough about it. It's ridiculous. You might as well just put a backstop back there and call it a day.
Yep.
Nothing's going to get by here. They return almost every single starter, almost. And for those that they didn't return, they put in someone who played significant minutes last year in a supporting role. So it's not like they have any new blood that's coming in and playing huge minutes. They're having the freshmen that they have recruited. Some come in and play the smaller breather minutes for the starters who have been there for a while. With Kaylee back from her torn ACL, it's good to see her healthy again.
She was working hard this summer.
For the amount of work she put in to rehab that leg back to where it is absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
With her and Mac up top, if any defense can push Mac or Kaylee off the ball, I will be very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two strong
women.
Girls. Whew! They will push anybody around. No back line is going to be able to mess with them. And then Kelly and her back four are nails. There's no better back four in the conference. Puget Sound included, there's no better back four. They did not lose. I think they lost one out of the back. But Katie Coronado played pretty much the most significant minutes in that position last year. She went back and forth with Nicoya, who they lost is the only one they lost out of the back
and
four.
And she's a sophomore, right, Katie?
And Katie Coronado's a sophomore.
Awesome, yeah.
So that's who played. And as a freshman, she played the majority of the minutes behind Nicoya.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just reloaded Katie Coronado right into the mix. And that back four hasn't changed. So if PLU scores one goal a game, they're not going to lose. They will either draw or win every game because the odds of Takara getting scored on twice is ridiculous. It's just not going to – it's never going to happen.
You kind of can look at Takara as Felix Hernandez,
yeah.
You know, for the Mariners. I mean, all you need is one run.
All you need is one run, and she'll protect the rest.
Which the Mariners have not been doing, which we'll get to later. But
I think Haley Smoot in midfield doesn't get a lot of credit because she doesn't do a whole lot in terms of a stat.
She's the distributor.
In terms of a stat sheet, you don't see a lot of what she does on a stat sheet, and she looks. You know, you see her and you're like, oh yeah, Haley Smoot's in the midfield, and she's just the staple there all game.
Yep,
never goes anywhere. Covers a lot of ground, distributes the ball, creates a lot of offense, but doesn't do. You know, doesn't do anything that's going to show up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
She's the glue that makes the team work. She's that wheel that makes the team work as far as the offense goes. A lot of the balls that Kaylee and Mac find themselves on the end on are from Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the people you also have to look out for. And she wins every ball in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Every ball. She goes up and competes, and it's really nice to see.
And you got to look at Coach Seth. You know, what an amazing hire from Lori Turner.
Oh, God.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, he's an AAU soccer coach. He coaches a select league, and he brings these girls that quite can't go that D1 level, might not be quite physically as gifted as the D3 athletes, but he takes his best players and gets them to PLU. And it's just, when I was a freshman, it was just, the women's soccer team, in my opinion, was just not, no one really took them seriously. You know, I don't want to mention who the coach was before, but it was one of those things where there just wasn't a lot of focus and determination. We were, you know, football goes on the practice field right after they do. And it was just like, gosh, are they even a team? But, I mean, Seth has done such an amazing job with them.
Now if you don't take them seriously, you're joking with yourself.
Right, right.
You're joking with yourself. They're going to win the conference. And they're going to go deep in the postseason.
Puget Sound was picked to beat them out by those 2 points. So
2 points.
Yep.
So they're,
like you said,
they're assuming somewhere along the line that Puget Sound's going to draw one game. So they're going to only get two. They're only going to win by 2 points instead of a full win. And like I said, it's going to take one goal, Kellen. One goal a game. If PLU can net one goal a game, Takara's not going to let anything else happen.
Right.
Just the case.
Right now, PLU and Puget Sound are the runaway favorites. Willamette University is picked to finish third, but they're sitting there with 44 points, so they're 20 points lower.
Wow.
Lower than
drop.
First place. Yeah.
They're the third?
Third.
So is like the preseason rankings, are we just assuming that PLU and Puget Sound are going to beat everybody and draw each other?
That's basically what coaches are saying around the league, yes.
And that's the game to go to, is the PLU-UPS game. No
both of them. Go to both of them.
Yeah. Go to both of them. It's not a far drive. And in Puget Sound travels really well. In terms of fans, They travel really well. Them and do you know who also travels really well in this league? Who just you would not expect to is Pacific. Pacific travels well.
So I'm impressed with George Fox.
You like how George
I'm
Fox,
impressed
George
with
Fox travels well.
George Fox, their parents travel well, and they're loud. And they're loud, especially for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you'd be proud of me. I went to my first soccer game a couple weeks ago. And,
yeah. How was it?
Wow, it was like a track meet with a ball. That's kind of what I felt like.
See, I'm happy you said that because, like, I don't know, we're all ball-centric athletes in here, right? Basketball, football, soccer, baseball, right?
Right.
Okay. I mean, even our half athlete in the building is a baseball athlete.
Yeah. Right? I think he's 3/4. I think he's earned 3/4.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
I saw him play at intramural basketball last year. He's got stroke. He can shoot it. I think he may be 3/4. I think we may be 3 3/4 athletes.
That. I'll take that.
So, he's Scalabrinian.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I know we don't talk a lot about cross country or track in here at all. I mean, I know we touch on it at the very end of the year, at the very beginning, but I know we don't talk about it a lot. I just don't understand it. I think those people are crazy. Like, I'll run after a basketball. I'll run after a soccer ball, a football, a baseball, a girl. I'll run after a lot of things. I'm not going to run after nothing. To run is crazy. The work rates in soccer are insane.
Right. You need that carrot to dangle there to run at it.
To run at it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need a ball in front of me. That's what soccer is so cool because half the time they're just making these runs and they don't get the ball. And then all of a sudden they're back on defense and they're making that run again and they're back on defense. Sometimes they don't touch the ball. They make 4 or 5 great runs. Like, I don't understand that. Like, that would drive me absolutely bananas.
Right. Yeah. And again, to go quickly right back to the women's soccer team, the best thing about what they did last week was they won 2 games in adversity on the road. The first game was like in a hailstorm, apparently, from some of the teammates. And then the next game, 2 days later, was in the dead heat of Texas, which the football team will be heading there next weekend. But that's when you know how good of a team you are, when you can win on the road. You're in adversity, you're in a bus, you're in a hotel bed, you're not in your classic Tempur-Pedic bed in Parkland. So that was really, really cool to see these Lady Lutes. And especially Hardin-Simmons, they were 17th in the country. So they really, really took care of them and did a great job, obviously, against Mary Hardin-Baylor.
And to be able to show that grit, I mean, my sister actually lives in Abilene, Texas, so she was able to go out and watch the Lutes week. So she was texting me during the game saying, oh, we're going into overtime. Lutes aren't giving up. Double overtime. It's just like to fight through that, that's got to be tough to play over 90 minutes of soccer.
It's pretty crazy. And Texas Heat, you're not kidding. I spent all summer there. And it was all summer there in Texas was crazy. It takes a lot to get out of an air conditioning car, and you get out and your sunglasses completely fog up.
You
and
already start sweating.
Your clothes immediately stick to you. But I think we're out of time for the segment. Christian, what are we moving on to next?
You'll find out after the break.
So, folks, we're going to take a short break. Thanks, Christian. When we come back, we'll be previewing another fall sports team. It's our last fall team that we will preview. Find out what team that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3 3/4 athletes on Ludair Student Radio. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3 1/2 athletes on Ludair Student Radio. Again, if you want to call on the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332. All right, Sounders fans, Christian, you're up.
Sounders fans, not quite. We're going to go with the POU.
Well, I just wanted to get the theme of soccer kind of involved.
Soccer vibe going. We're going to talk POU men's soccer here. They were also picked to finish second in the preseason coaches poll. They were 15-5 last season, matched a school best in program wins. Diego Aceves, all West region, 6 goals, 6 assists, 4 game winning goals, so clutch there.
Right.
Eddie Na, first team all Northwest Conference. Guam national team during the World Cup qualification, so he's a really good player. He had 12 goals and 4 assists. Bennett Bugby has the best name in POU athletics. He was also first-team All-Northwest Conference. Team assist leaders with 7. He scored 5 goals and 2 game winners. Who else are, you know, what are your thoughts on the POU soccer team this season?
I'm going to be honest. I don't really keep up with men's soccer here at PLU, which is a shame. I should really get on that. But I was reading they have 22 returning players, and they're going to add 10 first years to the roster this year. Head coach John York foresees a handful of those first years having a major impact on the season. So we'll see about that.
Are there 11 players on the field at once?
Yes.
It's just like American football over there, big fella. Just like American football.
All right, Drew, what do you think? You broadcast our game. You see him a lot. So what do you think?
So Okay. I think that the men's team is going to finish not second, but probably second to last.
Wow.
Ouch.
They're well below their preseason projections.
How so?
Okay, they have almost a brand new back four. With the exception of Casey Phillips, they have three greenhorns back there.
Phillips was second team all Northwest Conference last time.
Okay, yeah, but you lost Aaron Bumgardner and Todd Hoagland and, you know, captains and seniors out of that back four. So you've recycled three of your back four, okay? You lost your goalkeeper, who's the only guy who played any significant minutes there, and you've replaced him with practically a freshman because he hasn't seen the pitch since till this year.
No experience, you're right.
Absolutely no experience. So your keeper has no experience. I can't even come close to understanding what happens when you lose Mike Arroyo. I mean, the guy was nails. To go from keeper to keeper like we did in terms of
solid keeper.
Quick question,
what does nails mean?
What does nails mean?
Yeah, I'm just trying to put that in perspective.
So,
hardcore.
No, nails is like you're never gonna miss. It's a for sure thing.
Certain.
It's for sure. It's certain. They also lost Troy Michael Oliger, the heart of the team, the midfield, the motor of the squad, and replaced him with a freshman who hasn't seen minutes. So there's no experience from behind midfield.
So
besides Casey Phillips,
why is it that they're picked to finish second in conference?
I think, like I said, can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go
ahead. I think it all has to do with, again, like I said, with the volleyball. It always goes off of last year.
Yeah,
that's literally what it is. Every single year, always goes off of last year. But again, they do look at the roster. They do look at, you know,
coaches know what teams are losing.
Yeah,
and it's right. Like other teams in the conference haven't lost as much or more.
Exactly, yeah. That's a great point, Christian.
These coaches aren't dumb.
Yeah.
Furthermore,
they got an idea.
Furthermore, Eddie Na, who we've talked about a little bit so far, kid's a stud. But the problem is, everyone knows that now.
Is he a junior now?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Everyone knows that now, especially the season he had last year. And then when he's one of the very few Division III players asked to go play on a national team.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone knows his name, and that showed this weekend against Occidental. He was bracketed every single time he was even near the
ball. So bracketed in soccer, is that different than football? How's that look?
Is
that two guys on him?
He had a guy in front of him and a guy over the top shadowing him wherever he went.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to touch the ball. And he was never ever allowed, because when he gets a full head of steam, you're not stopping him. He was never allowed to even carry the ball into the attacking third. For us football people in the room, the attacking third is – so there's the defensive third, which is pretty much – about 10 to 15 yards outside the 18-yard box, the far big box, and in is the defensive third. Then there's the middle third, and then there's the attacking third.
Okay.
The attacking third is the opposite side. So he was never allowed to carry the ball from midfield into the attacking third where he could put any shots on goal.
Gotcha.
So with that being an issue and our primary goal scorer not being able to touch the ball ever, that has brought all goal scoring on Diego Aceves' shoulders. Diego Aceves is capable, but that's a lot of weight. He's a senior. Yes, he's a leader. There's a lot of great things to say about Diego, but you can't only have one guy who can put the ball in the back of the net.
Right.
And although he did it in pretty amazing fashion, he made about three guys miss and four hit the ground, including the goalkeeper, before he netted his goal against Occidental. It was pretty insane.
Wow.
I think he would have made Messi proud when he did it. But that's a problem. You can't only have one guy who puts the ball in the back of the net. Then – their set pieces, they were like 0 for the month of August in set pieces. They can't
play like two games in August. That's not bad.
I meant the entire month, like 0 for 30 days, 31 days. You know what I'm saying? 0 for the month of August in set pieces. And I just don't understand. That's where they made their money last year, was corners. And they can't even get a corner in the box.
Well, it makes sense why you're, you know, a little hesitant about all the moving pieces the replacements are going to have to make. But every team in the conference has to deal with that. Second to last is a little heavy there.
Well,
partner.
I mean,
I appreciate you being honest.
I broadcast all their games. I watched their Occidental game. It's not the same team that was last year. And although they have talent coming back, and a lot of it, and they have veterans. You know, they moved back out of the midfield and back to the back line to try to help with the young back line. They've done some things to try to help. The only problem is that there's just a lack of stability and a lack of experience, which will probably get fixed by conference. But for right now, I don't see their out-of-conference play going well.
Well, it'll be interesting to kind of get your take once conference starts up, Drew, to see hopefully, you know, if your opinion does change. Because, again, we all want the Lose to succeed, so Lord willing, they will
They're picked too, so I just I don't know if I entirely agree with you, Drew, but we're going to have to see how it plays out.
Very insightful, guys. Appreciate the wisdom. That wraps up our fall sports preview. Up next, we turn our sights towards local sports teams. Find out what local team we will discuss next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.